Our scripture reading from the Gospel of today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. It should be a familiar reading for you, especially for Father's Day, or as some people call it, Family Sunday. And of course, we're celebrating our children today. So you should remember maybe these verses. Listen now to the word of our Lord. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might teach them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. May the Lord bless our understanding of the reading of his holy word. Today, as we've mentioned many times, is Father's Day, and here are a few facts for us to take into our discussion of faith of our fathers. In a recent article, it reported that 72% of Americans, did you know this, plan to celebrate Father's Day. 74.3% of consumers say they will buy their father a greeting card on Father's Day. 36% will buy, what do you think they're going to buy? A necktie, exactly. And 41.6% plan a special outing with their father. $8 billion or so will be spent on fathers for Father's Day. Wow. And the average cost of a Father's Day gift, now if you could figure out the math for this will be tough, right, is $42. Now, I hate to say this, but for some reason, the statistics of all of these facts are higher for Mother's Day. I'm not exactly sure why this is so, because I think our fathers, especially those here at Cornerstone, are fabulous. I think sometimes, though, it's that we've moved to a culture where the father shares in many, many responsibilities, but also works many hours away from the home, and the mother is often at home more often, and so the father uses it as an opportunity to show his appreciation. But I, as your pastor this morning, would like to say thank you to those of you who are fathers in our church. As the famous evangelist and recognized national pastor of the people, Billy Graham, says, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets within our society." Research also tells us that more and more it is becoming important for the father to have a key role in the family, which I think, as we've seen over more recent years, fathers have taken on more responsibility in the home, which is wonderful. It's not new news that it's important for also the father to have a place and a role in the life of the faith of their children. The Bible tells us this in many, many places. But in a recent article actually published yesterday from the Washington Times, it says, "Because regular church attendance is less common for fathers than mothers, in some ways his religiosity," which means the practice of his faith, "is more important because it's more unusual," says Brad Wilcox, who's a sociology professor at the University of Virginia. He also says, "Kids who see both mothers and fathers regular attending church, listen to this, are more likely to take their faith seriously compared to kids who just see their moms attend. If a father does go regularly to worship, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers." So thanks for being here today, dads. We appreciate your commitment to the Lord and your appreciation and commitment to our church. One of the reasons suggested for the distinction is that children tend to take cues about domestic life from their mom. Now, whether or not this is right or wrong, they do. And their conceptions of the world are more influenced by their fathers. If dad takes faith in God seriously, then the message to their children is that God should be taken seriously, not just Sunday mornings in church, but throughout their life. This confirms, as Scripture tells us, the essential role of father as spiritual leader, which I would argue is true fatherhood. We know from Scripture also that fathers are to love their wives. And listen to this, as Christ loves the church, modeling the love of the Father in their most important earthly relationship possible is with their wife. Fathers are to care for their children as our Father in heaven cares for us. And finally, fathers play a primary role in teaching their children the truth about reality and how faith forms our reality and our understanding of God and his people. So there we go. The first opening point of today's sermon is that as a father, you are inscribed and commanded and ordered by the Bible to raise your children in the faith. Not just because they need to have faith in general, but because they need to see you experiencing a commitment to God. One of the things I love about the Bible is that the Bible tells us the stories we want to hear, and sometimes it tells us stories that we don't want to hear. As many say when they study the Bible for lengthy periods of time, that the stories in the Bible teach us the truth. For example, there are both bad fathers exemplified in Scripture, and there are good fathers. Joseph, father of Jesus, was presented as a caring and devoted father who adopted Jesus as his own son, who sought to protect his son at all costs by escaping to Egypt in his early years. He honored his mother, and he raised him up, mentoring him in the ways of wood and carpentry and his own profession. But against the story of Joseph, father of Jesus, we have David, king of Israel, who's the author of the many Psalms that we love. He was one of the greatest men in the Bible. He had a very committed heart. But when you study the life of David, you find that he was a successful king and had a heart for God. But most would say he was really just not a good dad. The Bible tells us that human beings, although we really would like to be, cannot be perfect. I'm sorry to say this disappointingly. We can't be perfect even though we want to. So one thing to remember is that since your life and example has such an influence on your children, my advice to you today is echoed in God's word. To you be given attention to your own faith. We read, actually Ben did this morning, the Happy Father's Day Psalm, in my opinion. If you want to be a happy father and if you want to have a happy Father's Day, the first thing the psalm points out is faith is important. Happy is everyone, the psalm says, who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. And look at the benefits you will receive. You will eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be happy and all will be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children will be like olive shoots around your table, which means they'll be plentiful in number and shooting up into great height and strength. And then it says, may the Lord bless you from Zion. May you prosper all the days of your life. Boy, you're sitting there probably thinking, oh, Pastor Courtney, you're making this seem very easy, right? Just be a good father. Pay attention to your faith and everything will be fabulous. Well, I'm kind of aware that parenting is a very big challenge to both mothers and fathers. And it seems wonderful to hear good news from this psalm that you'll have a table full of children. But I'm sure my dad used to say growing up that when you have three or more kids, there's always at least one of them in a major crisis. Is that true? Maybe? We think that our children who really want to grow up and be significant in the world need to be parented effectively. That means we have to discipline them when we don't want to. It means we have to share them our wisdom and our advice when they may hate us or turn away from us. I wish I could say that this is the story of all who are faithful, that they are wonderful parents and they're self-sacrificing and they do all that they should. But the reality is, because we're not all perfect, some fathers fall greatly short. Which encourages us then, as Christians in general, to make up for that missing piece in our community. Our children need more than just a father as a role model. And each of us who are faithful need to seek out young people around us and share with them our faith. As the Bible says, when Jesus was standing with his disciples and the little kids were running up to be with him, he said, "Let the little children come unto me." Sometimes we feel that parenting might be a burden or might hold much weight upon us, but remember that they are a gift. And not only are they a gift to you, but they are a gift to God, and they are a gift to our community. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. In other words, we need a childlike spirit. We need to be open to Jesus speaking to us, and we need to come forward and enter in to a relationship with Christ. And how we do that is with the same childlike enthusiasm and awe that only kids can give. I'm sure many of you know the verses from Scripture that give you good advice on parenting. The first is that comes from Joshua 1:9. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, I say this to you because it's a wise snippet about how we can stay strong in parenting. Because many days you may be discouraged, and it even says you may be terrified. And I'm sure there are days sometimes when your children are sick, or when things aren't going your way, or when money might be challenging, or parenting and having a full-time job or two full-time jobs or whatever you're doing to make it work seems terrifying. God gives you encouragement and says he will be with you wherever you go. A second comes from Proverbs 23, verse 24. It says, "The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him." So if you are successful in achieving your faith and sharing that with your children, then statistics promise that your life will be full of joy and you will delight in your child. Then Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:2-1 are sort of similar, but they say, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Does anybody know what exasperate means? It's not a word we use often in our vocabulary, but it means to irritate intensely or infuriate. So please, it says in the scriptures to you fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." So how do you be a tough parent then if you're not allowed to do these things? You can certainly put pressure on them. You can certainly encourage them. You can certainly discipline them. But I think we all know the difference between that and exasperate, right? Mostly, I think the Bible shares that the best advice for fathers is to pray. This should not be a big surprise because it's also what we should do as Christians. For prayer is our conversation with God. It reminds us that we are not alone. It reminds us that God is with you and will help you through all things. All you need to do is talk to him. When we are 4 years old, we say this about our dads usually: "My daddy knows everything." At age 8, we say, "My dad is really smart." At age 12, we say, "My dad probably doesn't know that." 16, "My dad is absolutely clueless." 21, we say, "Dad is pretty out of touch." 30 years old, we say, "I'd like to find out what dad thinks." Ooh, turning around. At 40 years, we say, "Let's get dad's opinion before we make a big decision." At 50 years old, people say, "I wish I could ask my dad about that. He's pretty smart." At 60 years, "My dad knew absolutely everything." And at 70, we say, "I'd give anything if dad were here. I miss him, and I want his advice now." I'm going to close this morning's sermon with an illustration from Irma Bombach. She's a Christian author and pastor, and she received a letter from a single mom who had raised a son who was about to become a dad. Since he had no recollection of his own father, the single mother asked Irma, "What do I tell him a father does?" Irma reflected to herself at first, thinking about how her own dad had died at nine years of age. So she was raised only by her mother, giving rise to the same question in her own life: what do fathers do? As far as Irma could observe, they brought around the car when it rained so everyone else could stay dry. They always took family pictures, which is why they were never in them. They carved turkeys on Thanksgiving, kept the car gassed up, weren't afraid to go into the basement, mowed the lawn, and tightened the clothesline to keep it from sagging. But then Irma, as she reflected on parenting and especially on fatherhood, was reminded of her own husband, who she had the joy of being married to and have kids with. And she watched him parent. He rarely fed them. He did anything about their sagging diapers, wiped their noses or fannies, played ball or bonded with them under the hoods of their cars. But what he did do, he threw them higher than his head until they were weak from laughter. He cast the deciding vote in which puppy we should get. He listened more than he talked. He let them make mistakes. He allowed them to fall from their first two-wheeler without having a heart attack while watching it. He read a newspaper while they were trying to parallel park a car for the first time in preparation for their driving test. If I had to tell someone's son what a father really does that is important, Irma wrote, it would be that he shows up for the job in good times and bad times. He's a man who is constantly being observed by his children, and they learn from him how to handle adversity, anger, disappointment, and success. He won't laugh at their dreams, no matter how impossible they might seem, and he will dig out himself from deep sleep to go pick up one of his children if they run out of gas. He will make unpopular decisions and stand by them, and when he is wrong and makes a mistake, he will admit it. He sets the tone for how family members treat one another, members of the opposite sex, people who are different than they are. And by example, he can instill a desire to give something back to the community when its need is greater than that at home. But mostly a good father involves himself in kids' lives. The more responsibility he has for a child, the harder it is to walk out of their lives. A father has the potential to be a powerful force in the life of the child. So grab it, she says. So I'm leaving you with a lot of practical information today about parenting. But I will say that you are not alone. Your church family is behind you. Your own children are behind you. Your spouses are behind you. We are rooting for you. We are praying for you. And as we are reminded from the scriptures, God is with you wherever you go, for now and evermore. Amen.